In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain!
Way to go, Stan. Nice shooting.
Why, thank you, John. Once again, a torpedo of truth sinks the HMS Beagle. I'm Stan Hudson.
And I'm John Kurlinski, welcoming you to another fun-filled episode of
Sink the Beagle,
where we take the lighthearted approach, and sometimes we just go and pound out the facts, the serious stuff that needs to be pounded out.
Oh, that's right.
We like to pound truth into people.
Well,
pound.
We're pounders, and we want to talk about origins, where we all came from. We talk from science, from scripture, and from our airheaded thoughts on all the above.
Our musings and our blendings of all kinds of genre.
We do muse.
We do amuse, too, hopefully. Today, Stan, we're looking at the historical and the hysterical.
Yes.
And we are looking at one of these other cases. We talked a while back about the whale of a tale, about how they tried to show the true of evolution through the evolution of whales, how somehow land creatures like hyenas or bears somehow went back to the water.
Yes, and moved those nostrils into a more convenient top on their heads
and
so they could
develop these nice, powerful tails to swim and
got rid of claws and substituted it for flippers.
Yes. And well, today we want to look at and sort of a lampoon maybe a little bit, but just show the second another major proposal,
better known
amongst people, the average person, about the evidence for evolution through the fossil record. They like to say that dinosaurs evolved into birds, that birds derived themselves from dinosaurs. Scales became feathers and stuff like that.
Yeah, who says dinosaurs are extinct? We just see them as feathered friends now. And that's the idea, and it's usually used as the best evidence of evolution, from the fossil record.
Yes.
No missing links, so to speak, not too many anyway.
And, of course, one of the big hubbubs of the last century, so to speak, toward the end of the last century, was the big hubbub. We've talked about it before, where the Chinese made a monkey out of the scientists at National Geographic by selling them an artifact, which was actually a forgery of a bird with a dinosaur tail.
Yes, two fossils and a bottle of Elmer's glue all, and some very, very wealthy non-skeptical believers bought this fossil, and it was half reptile, half bird, and they thought they really had a missing link.
Yeah, and they could sell that, and so
made the cover of National Geographic.
And it also made the nostrils of the people at the Smithsonian quite upset, because actually there's this thing that science likes to pride itself on, and that is truth.
Uh-huh.
They like to claim that they present truth,
unbiased, unvarnished truth.
Mm-hmm. And they say, well, one of the reasons why we know we are at least being honest is we have peer review,
which is, in other words, a scientist comes forth with a position, writes a paper, whatever, stakes out a claim, and allows his findings to be read and studied and critiqued by his peers.
And unfortunately, in that case of that old Archaeopteryx with the lizard tail and that was sold
type
to them,
thing, yes.
That wasn't peer reviewed.
Yes.
In fact, they put the pedal to the metal, no whole bar. They just took off with that one and printed it, went to publication.
Yes. And it was a feature of a National Geographic magazine, sold lots of copies, which was the idea.
Yep.
And thought they really had found a sensational, and some people were thinking, as good as Archaeopteryx, even better in some ways. So,
yes.
For proving the case of Darwin.
Well, then came along, Storrs L. Olson, curator of birds at the National Museum of Natural History in the Smithsonian. The
Smithsonian bird keeper.
And he kind of got ticked. He said, okay, enough is enough. And so he wrote back in November of 1999, almost a year after the incident, a scathing letter. So you have to understand the chronology.
This is an open letter, too.
Yeah. 1998, they find this fossil. They write up the article. They push it through without peer review. Mm-hmm. A year later, who there was a curator at the Smithsonian.
Yes.
Who just said enough's enough. We're going to write an open letter to the Committee for Research and Exploration of the National Geographic Society and say, hey guys, halt. Mm-hmm. And so we'd like to look, share with you that letter and make a few sink the beagle kind of comments.
Well, also what they were promoting in these series of National Geographics in these late 90s were a lot of new sensational finds coming from China. And they were purporting that dinosaurs that had feathers were being found and so forth. And finally, this was after that original one, the fake one. You know, anyway, here he is with a publication of Feathers for T-Rex by Christopher P. Sloan in its November issue. National Geographic has reached an all-time low for engaging in sensationalistic, unsubstantiated tabloid journalism.
Wait. Oh, skewer. Ow, ow, ow. You cut me deep, Shrek. You cut me deep.
You cut me deep there. That's right. Low blow.
Low blow. It goes on to say, prior to the publication of the article, Dinosaurs Take Wing in the July 1998 National Geographic, talks about the photographer for the Sloan's article invited him to the National Geographic Society to review the photographs of the Chinese fossils and comment mm-hmm. on the slant being given to the story. Mm-hmm. So he was invited in. He's one of the peer review kind of type
yep.
positions. At that time, I tried to interject the fact that strongly supported alternative viewpoints existed to what National Geographic intended to present.
Yep.
But it eventually became clear to me that the National Geographic was not interested in anything other than the prevailing dogma that birds evolved from dinosaurs.
And what they were finding is that those kind of magazines sold more than the average issue. And so from a strictly monetary sense, it made perfectly good, it was good wisdom to promote the idea of dinosaurs to birds.
So in this case here, what really won out wasn't the science, it was the finance.
Yeah, in a sense, that's true. And, you know, he goes on from a scientific standpoint. Let's keep reading. It says, Sloan's article takes the prejudice to an entirely new level and consists in large part of unverifiable or undocumented information that, quote, makes, close quote, the news rather than reporting it. His bald statements that we can now say that birds are theropods just as confidently as we can say that humans are mammals is not even suggested as reflecting the views of a particular scientist or group of science, so that it figures as little more than editorial propagandizing. In other words, he's saying they're not really sharing all of the views of the data. It's just
That's
simply one that they're promoting.
And you know, this melodramatic assertion,
yeah,
has already been disproven by recent studies of embryology and comparative morphology, which of course are never mentioned. So he's
yep.
saying here they're ignoring obvious science that is good science that contradicts their desired storyline.
Mm-hmm. I like this. I have to keep going, you know, about the National Geographic display. It says the hype about feathered dinosaurs in the exhibit currently on display at the National Geographic Society itself is even worse and makes a spurious claim that there is strong evidence that a wide variety of carnivorous dinosaurs had feathers. A model of the undisputed dinosaur Deinonychus and illustrations of baby tyrannosaurs are shown clad in feathers, all of which is simply imagery and has no place outside of science fiction.
Ouch. He's calling their science fiction, basically.
Yes, he is.
However, Stan, the last paragraph is the skewering one.
Okay, go.
The idea of feathered dinosaurs and the theropod origin of the birds is being actively promulgated by a cadre of zealous scientists acting in concert with certain editors at Nature.
Nature magazine.
He's skewering Nature magazine and National Geographic, who themselves have become outspoken and highly biased proselytizers of the faith.
Of the faith.
The F word is used there, folks. Truth and careful scientific weighing of evidence have been among the first casualties in their program, which now is fast becoming one of the grander
yeah.
scientific hoaxes of our age. The paleontological equivalent of cold fusion. So if Sloan's article is not a crescendo of this fantasia, it's difficult to imagine what heights can be next taken. But it's certain that when the folly has run its course, as it has been fully exposed, National Geographic will unfortunately play a prominent but unenviable role in the book that summarizes the whole sorry episode.
Oh, sincerely, Storrs L. Olson, curator of birds, Smithsonian Institute. Now, that is a tough letter. But what it illustrates, John, is this, that not all factors are brought into play when you look at the evidence on some. There's just certain motivations and worldviews that sometimes are just simply held to tenaciously with faith, as he suggests here.
Yes, not facts.
And not peer-reviewed and not allowed to be looked at by objective other people who might have differing views. And that's science.
And I suspect if you'd asked the people who that letter was directed toward or some of their board members that were getting copies of it, they end up shooting him or criticizing him for dare speaking out and writing the letter or making it public, or they'd start calling him names.
Narrow-minded. Oh, he's not a creationist, that's
for
sure.
No, I know. Yeah. And that's the thing. The irony is that I want to shift gears a little bit.
Okay.
Real quickly. It sounds a little bit to me like some of the stuff that's been going on in the last couple of years now regarding global warming.
Ooh. Okay.
Not taking in all the evidence, not having selected data.
Yeah.
Some people we're not saying there was no warming, but just the causes and some of the ways that it has been promoted look more like an agenda than necessarily good science.
Well, whenever you suppress opposing views, to me it's a red flag.
Yeah.
And that's not science to me. Science is let's put it all out there on the table. How do you see this? How do you see this?
What are the things? What are we missing here?
And even if you get a consensus from most of the scientists, why not still say, but you know, there's a few that see some problems or say this or that. And what I'm bothered by with National Geographic or Nature or these kind of pop science kinds of sources of information is that they don't really share the opposing views or the evidence that runs counter to what they're trying to promote.
We have some torpedo texts that we'll also skewer them with.
We're talking about birds, aren't we? Yeah, dinosaurs to birds.
Dinosaurs to birds or skewering National Geographic, whatever you want. Put them on a skewer.
Oh, well, John, you know, when we try to understand where birds come from, maybe it's better to be a little more humble about it. Job 39 says this, God talking to Job. He says, does the hawk fly by your wisdom and spread its wings toward the south? Does the eagle mount up at your command and make its nest on high? You think you know birds. Yeah. Come on, explain to me how this all goes.
Yeah.
You know?
And Paul kind of skewers the human pride and hubris in Romans chapter 1 when he says, even though they knew God, they did not honor him or give thanks. They became futile in their speculations,
ooh,
and their foolish heart was
scientists
darkened. Professing to be wise, they become fools and exchange the glory of the incorruptible God for the image of the form of corruptible man and of birds and of four-footed animals and crawling creatures.
Ooh, okay.
They're exchanging what they could really learn for lesser things.
For lesser things. And, you know, what we want you to understand, listener, is this, that even if it's in print, even it's a substantial book like National Geographic magazine, I should say, don't believe every single thing. Don't swallow it all as though it's
gospel truth.
That it's a gospel truth. Absolutely.
Gospel truth comes from scriptures. So
yes.
We invite you to go there for your source of truth. Tune in again to another
Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friends. You're sure to get a smile from seven stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Island.